She want it, I wanna give it to her. She know that it's right here for her. I wanna see her break it down. Yeah. I'm ballin', throwin' money around.
Back once again, it's week 5 in the NFL. It's another edition of The Rundown. I'm Ollie Wilson inside the Red Zone every week for TalkSport 2, keeping abreast of all of the games that go on Sundays, and I'm bringing you a full recap of week 5 around the National Football League. We'll start with Thursday night, the Patriots moving to 3-2 with their 19-14 victory over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, expecting a big breakout game for the Patriots season that hasn't quite got going just yet. Jameis Winston struggling for Tampa Bay, but the Pats didn't get that blowout win that they wanted after the loss to Carolina last week. The Pats, of course, missing Gronk with a thigh injury. He was a late call not to play in the game. Another TD grab for Chris Hogan, though. His fifth of the season, 4 in 3 games for the New England wideout, and 3 field goals lifting them past Tampa Bay. The Pats still yet to look the real deal. Defensive struggles as well. Doug Martin coming back for Tampa Bay Buccaneers off his early season suspension. Back with the TD and 74 rushing yards along the ground. But the Tampa Bay Buccaneers unable to do it on home soil against New England. They moved to 2-2. The Buffalo Bills headed to Cincinnati to take on the Bengals, and they came away with a defeat. The 3-2 Buffalo Bills now losing 16-20 to the 2-3 Bengals. AJ Green, 77-yard touchdown grab on the Bengals' first play from scrimmage. Green had 189 yards receiving, his best of the season so far after a slow start to the year. Andy Dalton with 1 touchdown, 2 interceptions, 328 yards. Not a far touchdown game like the previous week, but just about good enough to get the Bengals past the Bills. Joe Mixon, 51 yards on the ground. The rookie running back's finally starting to show his worth and prove himself for the Bengals this year. Tyrod Taylor, a lot of talk about him. 166 yards passing. Shady McCoy, 63 rushing yards. Still no touchdowns either through the air or rushing this season for Shady. Charles Clay lost in the first quarter. The big tight end who's been huge as a target for Tyrod this season, hitting the left leg after a 24-yard pass completion. He will miss multiple weeks, according to the Bills. He was set to achieve his best receiving year of his career, of course trying to usurp the 2013 career he had with the Dolphins. He has 759 yards on that season. The Jets with another win, 3-2. 3-2, the New York Jets. Unbelievable. Taking on the Browns this week. 0-5 now. 17-14, the Jets winning it in Cleveland. Kevin Hogan once again coming in for Deshone Kizer, the rookie quarterback for the Browns. Hogan had 2 touchdowns, 1 interception, 194 yards as I crowd with 60 yards on the ground. Good news is for Browns fans that no first round first pick Myles Garrett getting 2 sacks on his NFL debut. The Jets get the win with 2 passing touchdowns from Josh McCown, 194 yards through the air, 23 of 30 and 1 interception. Austin Seferian Jenkins and Jermaine Kearse with the touchdown grabs. They did lose. Bill Alpaldo had a big rushing game last week for 169 yards against the Jacksonville Jaguars. He's got an injured calf. Matt Forte with the injured turf toe as well. Problems at running back for the Jets going forward, but they do have a winning record after 5 games this season. Talking of winning records, the Carolina Panthers 4-1, 27-24. They get the victory against the Detroit Lions. Cam with his controversial comments last week to a female reporter, putting that all aside on the field with 335 yards passing, 3 TDs. Kelvin Benjamin, Devin Funches, and Christian McCaffrey, the rookie running back's first NFL touchdown. The 3 recipients of Cam's throws did it all through the air. Ed Dickinson, 175 yards receiving for the tight end. Matt Stafford, injured in the game, seen limping away from the stadium after it on his right leg. Peg leg, it was being described as. And Haloti Ngata as well, out during the game. The experienced lineman for the Lions. Stafford with 2 touchdowns to Fell in the fourth quarter, making it a bit of a game at the end. But another fourth quarter comeback falling short for Detroit. They're renowned for that last season, and Matt Stafford, of course, is renowned for that at all times in his NFL career, but unable to pull it out of the bag. They lose 24-27 at home to the Panthers. The 49ers joining the Browns on 0-5. They lost 23-26 to the Indianapolis Colts, who moved to 2-3, still in their divisional fight. An overtime game-winning field goal from that man who is renowned for overtime game-winning field goals, Adam Vinatieri, winning it for the Colts in an overtime period that really looked like nobody really wanted to score in it. Frank Gore, of course, passing Eric Dickerson, on the all-time NFL rushing yards list, 48 on the ground. Rookie Marlon Mack, running back, 91 yards, one touchdown. Jacoby Brissett with 314 yards through the air, one interception. T.Y. Hilton, 177 receiving yards for the Colts in a tight one. San Francisco came back in the fourth quarter with 17 points, two fourth quarter touchdown passes from Hoyer, pulling them level. Hoyer, 353 yards, no interception. Marcus Goodwin with 116 receiving yards. Pierre Garçon, 94 receiving yards. They were airing it out, San Fran, but unable to find that first victory of the season. The Tennessee Titans, 2-3, struggling without Marcus Mariota, of course. The Miami Dolphins moving to 2-2 with a 16-10 victory in Miami. Jay Cutler, weird one this for Jay Cutler. Of course, it was Cutler against Castle was all the talk, with Matt Castle coming in to fill in the vacant quarterback role left by the injured former Oregon Duck for the Titans. Cutler with 92 passing yards, one touchdown to Jarvis Landry in the fourth quarter, the game-winning score for Miami. How do you see that as a day for Jay Cutler? Good, bad, or ugly? Generally seems to be ugly at the moment for Cutler, but they did get the victory, the Dolphins. Matt Castle for the Titans, 141 yards, one touchdown, 58 yards on the ground for DeMarco Murray. AJ Ajayi bouncing back from his poor week in Wembley after the loss to the New Orleans Saints for Miami. He picked up 77 yards on the ground for the Dolphins. Bad news for them at wide receiver, though, running out of options for Cutler to throw at. Devontae Parker leaving the game early for the Finns with a sprained ankle. Miami just about getting it done on home soil. The LA Chargers, 1-4, beating the 0-5 New York Giants, 27-22 in New York. Phillip Rivers, 258 yards throwing and three TDs. Melvin Gordon, 105 yards, six reception of 58 yards and two touchdowns. Seven different receivers used by Rivers in the victory, their first of the season for the Chargers. New running back for the Giants, Orleans Darkwa, with 69 yards rushing, one touchdown. Gallman, who carried the load last week in their defeat, with 57 yards on the ground. But the big talk is all about the receivers. Losing three for the season, Eli Manning this weekend. Odell Beckham Jr., Brandon Marshall, and Dwayne Harris. Dwayne Harris perhaps not the biggest loss on the season for the Giants, but those first two, particularly, of course, Odell Beckham Jr., disastrous for Eli Manning and the Giants' season. 0-5 and staring down the barrel of the gun. Some people already talking about tank it now for this campaign. Beckham with 97 yards and one touchdown before his injury. Of course, Brandon Marshall confirming today that he's going to have surgery on his ankle, injured ankle, that would leave him out for the season. Manning, 225 yards, two touchdowns, one interception, but not enough to get the Giants their first win of the season. In the NFC East elsewhere, the Philadelphia Eagles move to 4-1 with a victory against the Arizona Cardinals, 34-7. Three first quarter touchdown passes for Carson Wentz, putting this one to bed early. Wentz had four touchdown passes overall, one interception. LeGarrette Blount with 74 yards rushing on the ground. Nelson Agholor with 93 yards, one touchdown. A great touchdown as well for Agholor. Torrey Smith with the other, and Zach Ertz and Trey Burton as well with the grabs for the Eagles. Carson Palmer, 291 yards, one touchdown. John Brown with the only TD, a 13-yard grab in the second quarter. No running game against that massive Eagles front seven. Drives stalling for the Cardinals as well. Seven times they were forced to punt. Big win for the Eagles. Now, the Jacksonville Jaguars, not much expected of them after their stuttering start to the year. Taking on the Pittsburgh Steelers, always plenty expected of them. No one was expecting this. The Jaguars winning it 30-9. Big Ben throwing five interceptions. Ben Roethlisberger pressured and hurried all day. A lot of short dumps to Le'Veon Bell and forcing it to Antonio Brown. Each of those two with 10 receptions each on the day. Antonio Brown, 157 yards receiving. Bell, 46 yards receiving, 47 yards rushing on the ground. Very few other receivers really looked at consistently by Roethlisberger, who had 312 yards, no touchdowns. The load carried for the Jags by Leonard Fournette, 181 yards rushing, two touchdowns for the rookie running back. Blake Bortles just 95 yards, 4 of 18 through the air, one interception. The pass rush up front for the Jags doing it once again. Quarterback Jalen Ramsey with 7 tackles and of course was important on the interceptions as well. That secondary stepped up too against Roethlisberger. Calais Campbell with another half sack for him this season. I mean, Jags defense is just phenomenal this year. In fact, they were able to pick apart an experienced quarterback like Ben Roethlisberger. It says a lot about where this Jags team could go this season. Seattle against the LA Rams. The LA Rams averaging 35 points a game this season coming into this one, but Seattle going to Los Angeles and coming out with a 16-10 victory. Jared Goff, no touchdowns, two interceptions, a return to last year's form perhaps for him. Todd Gurley had held to just 43 yards on the ground. The Rams had a 10-point lead, but then blew it away. A Jimmy Graham touchdown and three Blair Walsh field goals winning it for Seattle. Russell Wilson, 198 yards through the air, one interception, one touchdown. Graham and Doug Baldwin, 37 yards receiving each. The Seattle defense, though, with two fumbles forced, two interceptions. Is that defense back now for the Seahawks? They might be relying on them down the stretch in for the playoff run as well, if Wilson can't get that offense starting to fire once more. The Baltimore Ravens against the Oakland Raiders. Hotly touted Raiders, but no Derek Carr this week. Perhaps news coming out today, this Tuesday, that he's going to return for week six, and they need him because they lost big to the Baltimore Ravens, 30-17. The Ravens winning it in Oakland. Of course, the Raiders getting Crabtree back this weekend. Big receiver so far this season for Carr, and EJ Manuel used him too on a 41-yard touchdown pass. Manuel, 159 yards, one touchdown. Amari Cooper still not shining. One reception, 8 yards. Marshawn Lynch, 43 yards on the ground. Javorius Allen and Vince Mali with short rushing touchdowns for the Ravens in this one. Joe Flacco, 222 yards, one touchdown, no interceptions. Mike Wallace, 133 yards receiving, has been a big target for Flacco this year. Jimmy Smith, the cornerback, with a 47-yard fumble recovery for a touchdown. Three Justin Tucker field goals as well, helping to lift the Ravens past Oakland. Terrence West, though, in the backfield, injury for the Ravens. Already lost Danny Woodhead this season, a calf injury for him. Expect more on that as the week goes on. Now, let's get on to Green Bay against the Dallas Cowboys. This really was the game of the week. We were expecting it to be a thrilling showdown, and my goodness, it was. And I'm glad that I'm joined on the line now by BBC NFL reporter Mike White to tell us a little bit more about what went on in Jerry's world. The Cowboys expected to bounce back from their home soil defeat last week, but it wasn't to be the case, was it, for the Cowboys?
It wasn't for them, but you were right. It was a cracker of a game. Really enjoyed this one. I've watched it twice now, and it probably got better the second time around as well, because I just cannot have any more admiration for Aaron Rodgers and what he does. I think we talk about what Tom Brady does, and no denying greatest of all time now. And I say that as a 49ers fan who's admired Joe Montana over the years. But I think that the age that we're in with both Brady and Aaron Rodgers right now is a golden age to watch those two at the peak of what they're doing. And Aaron Rodgers, a big part of this on Sunday night as well. What a game. And to come back the way they did, because let's not forget, the Cowboys led this one 21-6 at one point. Then they were leading 31-28 going into the closing stages, into the final running of the game. And for me, the Cowboys let themselves down, and it was picked up on by Troy Aikman. He pointed it out, and I think he was hammered for it at the time, certainly looking on social media, talking about how much time the Cowboys had left. They passed on second down and it was incomplete, and it left some time on, and he was absolutely spot on, because it left enough time, 62 seconds, to go 75 yards for the winning drive to Davante Adams for the winning touchdown. And again, it's got to be a lesson you learn. Don't leave Aaron Rodgers time on the board to go and do something like that to you. And the other thing in it, the Packers only had seven possessions in the whole of the game. Seven possessions, think about that. And how effective they were with each one of those possessions. They've overcome injury problems at wide receiver, defensively overall as well, and particularly on the O-line. Although Brian Bulaga was back, they were hoping to have David Bakhtiari back, but he should be just around the corner as well. But for me, really exciting game. It's what we love about the NFL. But once again, Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers finding a way to win. And right now, you've got to look at them and say, if they keep playing like that, and they seem to have they've got a resolve about them at the moment, where they're just overcoming the odds, don't be counting them out for being in the big one at the end. Well, I've tipped the Panthers preseason, but you've got to look at the Green Bay Packers right now. And I know it's an easy one to say when you're talking about a team that's 4-1. But there are a few teams out there you could hang your hat on. But the Packers right now are looking every bit the part.
Well, Aaron Rodgers always looks the part. I mean, everybody puts him up as greatest of all time, even without the rings. still compared to Tom Brady, of course, and that amazing career that Brady's had in New England. But not only that, they seem to have found a rushing game this week as well. 125 yards on the ground for the rookie Aaron Jones, and something they needed with obviously T.Y. Montgomery out this week as well with that rib injury, and something they really need going on into the future, because if anything, the one thing you lay on the Green Bay Packers is that they're a little one-dimensional. It's going to be Aaron Rodgers getting them out of these jams and keeping them in big games. If they can maintain a decent running attack as well, it just creates a bit more balance, don't you think, Mike?
Yeah, hugely impressed with Aaron Jones. 19 carries, 125 yards and a touchdown to complement what they did with Devontae Adams as well. And by the way, what was he doing playing the game given what had happened sort of 10 days prior? But as far as Aaron Jones, really impressed with him. He looks like an elusive runner, really good on his feet. He reads his blocks well. And we talk about this all the time with running backs, don't we? And Le'Veon Bell's someone we hold up there as the sort of the benchmark for it in terms of reading those blocks and being a little bit patient. And there was some powerful running from Jones at times, but he really read his blocks well, and that created some opportunities for him. And they do need it, because for all time Montgomery has stepped up, there was some question marks over him and the consistency issue at times. You've still got the issue that when it comes down to it, he's a wide receiver that stepped into that role, and I think he can still offer something down the stretch. He'll give them another option now. But Aaron Jones, for me, is the out-and-out running back that they need in there. And I'm not trying to over-egg it at the moment, because we do this, don't we? We hail players a bit too quickly. But he looks as though that's the extra bit, that extra piece in the puzzle that Aaron Rodgers needed, that the Packers needed, full stop. And yeah, really impressive performance from him. It gives them that extra dimension now to just take some of the pressure off Aaron Rodgers, who, you know, does he feel it? Does he bother with pressure? He probably thrives under pressure anyway. But I like what Aaron Jones can probably give them. They've still got that concern, obviously, with wide receivers. Jordy Nelson sitting out the last drive due to injury as well. He looked as though he landed a bit funny. It was on that Phil two-point conversion, wasn't it? And bit sketchy afterwards to what it was. It can't have been any issues with concussion, because I think he spoke to the media afterwards and they don't allow them to do that. But still a bit unclear as to what the situation is there. And can I just mention, by the way, just going on a bit of a tangent here, but talking about wide receivers, there was a on the Cowboys opening drive, it was a terrible call, a roughness call from the officials on Blake Martinez for supposedly a shot on Dez Bryant. Nothing in it for me. Talk about a ticky-tacky call from the officials. And then later on, or not too far after that, there's no flag on Anthony Hitchens for a sideline hit on Randall Cobb, which looked a darn sight clearer. So I've gone on a bit of a, but I had to get that off my chest, because it's been bugging me since I watched it, and then watching it a second time wound me up even more. Going back to bringing it back full circle. Now I've calmed down, I've had my rant. Very impressed with Aaron Jones and looking forward to seeing what he can bring down the stretch.
Hey, when you're in Jerry's world, it's Jerry's rules at the end of the day, and he's obviously been making a fair few headlines for the Cowboys in the last 24 hours or so, Jerry Jones, the Cowboys owner. Before we quit, and I do want to get just a very quick statement on that, because we could do a half an hour to an hour on everything that's going on with the national anthems, etc. But on this Dallas Cowboys team, so much expected of them. We finally saw a really good game, at least from Ezekiel Elliott, although he had the ball a hell of a lot in his hands. 29 carries on the night for the second year running back, 116 yards. Dak Prescott, who had a good game, solid right until the end, but throwing that vital interception, the pick six, that was really costly, of course, for the Dallas Cowboys in blowing away that lead in the fourth quarter and that comeback from the Packers. And at the moment, of all the players getting catches on that receiver core, the hotly touted receiver core, of course, led by Dez Bryant, it's Jason Witten, the old man, the tight end, that's still seeing the ball more than anybody else from Prescott at the moment.
Yeah, it was 8 receptions, 61 yards. I mean, it was spread out a bit when you look at it, because you've got Butler with 57 yards, Dez had 52 with a TD, Cole Beasley as well, 23 catches and a couple of touchdowns. So he is spreading it out, but as you said, it was still being led by Jason Witten, the so-called old man of the team, and just being used in there in almost. At what point do you say he is just going to be the situational tight end? Because at the moment, he's still a very key part of that offense, isn't he? And yeah, you're right. But the good thing about that Cowboys offense, we've questioned it for the first few weeks, at least it looked more dynamic now. And yes, Zeke had to carry a lot of the load, but I think he likes that. I think he you know, you get the best out of Zeke so far from what we've seen of him since he came into the league. You seem to get the best out of him with that. But there's going to be a concern now with Dallas, especially being the games that they are behind Philly, who have taken the division by storm. There's a big concern with that Cowboys side at the moment as to whether or not they can actually get themselves back in to go into the bye week now. At least then, from their point of view, when they come back, who have they got? Oh, yeah, the 49ers.
That's an easy win. Yeah. Don't worry, Mike. That's an easy win.
Yeah, thank
win,
you
right?
for that. We'll leave that one alone, I think. But just a stat, by the way, I saw this. Since 2010, the Cowboys are 15-10 when they've scored 30-plus at home. Only 15 wins, 10 defeats when they've scored 30-plus. So they'll get into these games, but have they got the resolve? Even on the home in the home turf, have they got the resolve as a side to actually see them out? Those stats in the last 7 years suggest they haven't, and that can prove big, and it can cause them a problem. Again, we'll talk about it in the playoffs. I mean, we think about the Packers and Dallas in the playoffs last year. It could come back to bite them again if they're not able to see games like that out.
Cowboys losing their nerve in the playoffs. It's like Tony Romo never left Dallas, really, isn't it, at the end of the day? Just finally, hey, I'm an Eagles fan. You've got to allow me to get the digs in at some point on the Cowboys. In terms of what Jerry Jones has said in the media recently about players who decide to take a knee during the anthem will be reprimanded if they're Cowboys players and everything that's going on, is this a different situation if it's not Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott as the faces of the franchise as well as Dez Bryant? Is this slightly different and easier for the Cowboys if it's Tony Romo, who's basically the sole face of the franchise as he has been for a long time? Of course, Jason Witten and Romo were the two that you often paired together as being the faces of that franchise, and particularly the offense, of course, for the last few years. Does that change the dynamic at all now that they have, you know, an African-American quarterback, an African-American star running back, and obviously an African-American star receiver as well in Dez Bryant, a very vocal receiver at that. And obviously the Cowboys are America's team as well. There's so many bits of American politics and culture that you can get into just because of this one statement from Jerry Jones around this Cowboys side.
It is, and it becomes a bit of a minefield, doesn't it, to the point where you're thinking, you're almost treading on eggshells, and not that I'm ever one, and you know this, not that I'm ever one to pull my punches with my opinions, but you almost find yourself treading on eggshells because there are so many sensitivities to this, so many different parts to the story as well, where I won't say no one's wrong, but I won't say no one's right either. There are so many different views, so many different approaches. I think you're right. It does change the dynamic because of the faces of the franchise and who's representing it. I think Jerry Jones has gone, it's not new, he's gone ballsy with this one, hasn't he? Because here's a franchise that took an approach and took a stance very publicly on primetime television in terms of how they were going to handle it in the first week of this all really coming to the fore. That very prominent Jerry Jones there with his teammates, they all took the knee before the national anthem and then they stood up for it. Now all of a sudden he comes out with this and takes a different approach, and that's seemingly got the president on side because he admires that and he thinks that's the right thing to do. And once again, Jerry is putting himself front and center in terms of controversy. Whichever approach, whichever route people are going to take with this, there is going to be division. It's going to cause further controversy. It's going to cause further animosity, I feel. Every Twitter post you see, every comment you read, the thread underneath it just becomes more and more unpalatable and unsavory. The whole issue in itself is very important in terms of how these players, the message these players are trying to get across. Let's not put that down for 1 second. You see what I mean about treading on eggshells and being careful? Because the further you delve into it, the more you're going to offend one party or another. But every comment and Twitter thread you see, you're just seeing division. You're seeing disagreements that become petty disagreements as opposed to looking at the bigger picture. And this latest sort of approach from Jerry Jones, I think he's only going to fan the flames even more. But this one isn't going away for a long time. And I'll go back to something, a question that I asked and I put out on Twitter a couple of weeks ago. Now, let me just throw this one at you. Think about the source of this to some extent. Colin Kaepernick, who personally, as a quarterback, take these feelings aside. I've had my say before on him as a quarterback for the 49ers, and yeah, maybe could do someone a good job who needs a quarterback to step in. But in terms of the political side of it, he became untouched. Someone no one wanted to touch. He became unemployable. Has all of a sudden the fact that so many other people now got involved in this and had their say and doing the protests in their own way, all of a sudden, has the president of the United States made Colin Kaepernick employable again? I know it hasn't happened yet, a couple of weeks down the line, but does it change the dynamic? Does it change the feelings that the owners might have now? Because, hey, we've got people on our franchise who are already doing it anyway. He isn't going to be the sole representation anymore. Yes, it's going to bring us a bit of attention that we've brought him into the franchise. But has Kaepernick become employable again?
It's a very good question, Mike. In terms of the media circus for 2 weeks that it would bring to a franchise, is there? I think there would be a worry, perhaps, that it might galvanise more players to support Kaepernick in taking a knee during the anthem within a team, which could then cause problems for fan bases, for owners, obviously would continue Trump's words. And I think it would also perhaps lead to Trump discussing the franchise individually rather than the NFL. We haven't had an individual franchise really poked at by the president of the United States. It's been the NFL as an organization, and that could change as well, which is something I don't think any NFL owner really wants to deal with, thinking that the leader of the country is looking at them and pointing a finger individually at them. And it's, as I said to somebody this morning, it's interesting now that Kaepernick has reportedly said that he would be happy now to stand during the anthem if he got a job in the NFL. It's very interesting, all of this. And Mike, you're right. As soon as you start to talk about it, you then have to backtrack to outline perhaps what you're trying to say without offending anything from what's gone on in the last 12 months or so, really, that this has been going on for now since Kaepernick first took that knee. And it is, as you say, walking on eggshells if you try and discuss this. I appreciate you lending your thoughts to the show, mate, and appreciate you coming on. At Mike White Sport is Mike's Twitter handle, at Mike White Sport. Always appreciate your time, mate, and look forward to seeing you around the games in the UK in the near future, my friend.
Will do, top man. Talk to you soon.
Cheers, Mike. Thank you very much. Let's move on now from Green Bay against Dallas and get into a little bit of the Chiefs against Houston. The Texans still led by rookie quarterback Deshaun Watson. He had 4 touchdown passes and a rushing touchdown last week against the Titans, and he continued where he left off. 5 through the air for Watson this weekend. 261 yards, 16 of 31. The rookie taking the Texans so close, but the Chiefs undefeated still, 5-0 after this weekend, with that big victory in Houston, 42-34, able to put 42 points on this hotly touted Texans defense that is going to be without their star man, J.J. Watt, for the rest of the season. A tibia fraction out in the first quarter, missing the final 3 quarters of this, and now out for the season confirmed today. DeAndre Hopkins with 3 touchdowns for Houston, a valiant fight against the best team in the NFL at the moment. This defense, though, only got 1 sack on Alex Smith, who has proved so mobile this season. 324 yards passing for him and 3 touchdowns. The Chiefs quarterback continuing his stellar start to the season. 107 yards on the ground this weekend for Kareem Hunt, the rookie running back, but no touchdowns, funnily enough. Travis Kelce could be a big loss. He left the game with a concussion for the Chiefs. Number 87 tight ends not having a good weekend for the Patriots or Kansas City. He had 98 yards receiving before he left the game, likely to be a week-to-week decision on whether he plays. And Chris Conley, now out for the season, wide receiver for the Chiefs as well. His Achilles has gone, and he will need plenty of time to recover from that. Chuck Kendrick West as well popping up in the passing game, the out-of-favor running back in Kansas City. 2 receiving touchdowns for him. The Chiefs looking superb at the moment, all powerful on offense and just about able to do enough to shut down teams on defense. When will teams work out what Watson and this Texans offense are able to do together? Because at the moment, they are looking phenomenally tough to try and stall and slow down. As I say, 5 touchdowns, 10 in total from Watson, 1 on the ground, 9 passing in the last 2 weeks. What a start to his NFL career. he's having. And then we had Monday night, of course, another rookie quarterback making his debut start in the NFL. Mitch Trubisky coming in for the Chicago Bears to take on the Minnesota Vikings, who welcomed back Sam Bradford, but not back for too long. The Vikings just about able to get a 20-17 victory in Chicago. Trubisky on his first start, starting the game with a lovely pass out to the right sideline for about 12 yards or so, but late in the game throwing an interception late in the fourth quarter that set up the Vikings game-winning field goal with 12 seconds to go. Bradford back through 5 of 11, 36 yards, had to come out. He does not look fit still. Back too early from injury. Case Keenum coming in. He's done okay in the last couple of weeks since coming in and replacing Bradford. Of course, had the 3 touchdown passes against Tampa Bay. He had one today against the Bears, and Jerick McKinnon running back 95 yards on the ground for the Vikings, including a 58-yard TD. Remember, no Dalvin Cook, of course, out for the season. Trubisky got his first NFL touchdown pass, one to tight end Zach Miller, albeit a tipped one. Jordan Howard had 76 rushing yards on the ground, but it wouldn't be enough for the Bears to try and hold out, lead a game-winning drive with Trubisky, and instead the Vikings go to 3-2. The Bears now 1-4. And that is it for Week 5 in the NFL here on The Rundown. A big thanks to Mike White at Mike White Sport. That's at Mike White Sport. You can check him out on Twitter and see if he's got any more controversial views about what's going on in Jerry's world and in the world of the NFL in general. Always down at the NFL games in London too, Mike, and definitely worth a follow. I'll be back in time for Week 6 action that kicks off on Thursday night, the Eagles against the Panthers. Before I go, let's just take a look at the divisional standings in the NFL. AFC East, Bills 3-2, Jets 3-2, Patriots 3-2, Dolphins 2-2. Wide open there. The AFC North, the Steelers 3-2, the Ravens 3-2, the Bengals 2-3, still in it after their poor start to the season. The Browns 0-5 and looking at another rebuilding year. The Jags 3-2, top of the AFC South. The Texans 2-3, Titans 2-3, and the Colts 2-3. Very close in the AFC South once again. And the AFC West, the Chiefs 5-0, the Broncos 3-1, the Raiders 2-3, and the LA Chargers 1-4. In the NFC East, the Eagles 4-1, Redskins 2-2, Cowboys 2-3, and the Giants 0-5. In the North, in the NFC, the Green Bay Packers 4-1, the Lions 3-2, the Vikings 3-2, and the Chicago Bears 1-4. The Panthers in the NFC South, they lead it 4-1. The Falcons 3-1, of course, had their bye week this week. The New Orleans Saints 2-2, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 2-2 as well. And in the NFC West, the Seahawks on top 3-2, along with the LA Rams, and the Arizona Cardinals 2-3, with the San Francisco 49ers joining the Giants and the Browns on 0-5. 3 winless sides in the NFL at the moment. There's only one unbeaten. That is the Chiefs. That is them on the top of the pile still in the NFL after 5 weeks. 5-0. Can Alex Smith and co. do it again next week? We will find out when the Sunday games come around. Previews of those coming up on Thursday. Until then, enjoy all the action, all the talk. We'll get back to the gridiron as soon as we can.